Have you ever heard of the Chartists movement? Chartism was a movement for political and social reform in the UK and Ireland between 1838 and 1850. It takes its name from the People's Charter of 1838. Chartists were largely unsuccessful at convincing Parliament to reform the voting system of the mid-1800s. However, this movement caught the interest of the working class, which resulted in the success of later suffrage movements. Chartism was possibly the first mass working class labour movement in the world. More than 15 decades later, trade unions in the UK are undertaking another political campaign and name it once more the People's Charter, aiming for a fairer Britain for ordinary working people. I first heard about it while covering a trade union protest against the budget cuts announced in June. On Tuesday, the 13th of July, I spoke about the contemporary People's Charter with Pat Sikorski. Pat used to be a railway worker, but nowadays he is full-time employed by his union, RMT, in the role of Assistant General Secretary. RMT, the Rail, Maritime and Transport Union, is an industrial trade union with a long history behind it.
And we seek to organise workers in all transport undertakings and ancillary services. The RMT and its predecessor, the National Union of Railwomen and the National Union of Seamen, go back to before the 1900s. We've been going for over 100 years, both of us. That's the National Union of Railwomen and the National Union of Seamen, and we have amalgamated in 1992, and that's a long, long history.
RMT is one of the trade unions who support and campaign for the People's Charter. What are the objects of the People's Charter this time round?
Well, the People's Charter was put together by people who came together from all parts of the country, England, and from Scotland, Wales, and that was just after the financial crash, which reverberated around the world at the end of 2007 and into 2008. And we came together because we felt that the bankers had wrecked the world economy with their greed and speculation, and that governments were beginning, even then, to rescue the banks with public money and then get the workers of the world to, in fact, rescue the banking system with our public money.
The results of which we see today.
That's right. Starting with New Labour, who helped to rescue the banks and then said they were going to make humanitarian cuts, we now have the Conservative and Liberal Party coalition who are going to smash up what is left of the welfare state. They're going to slash pensions. Workers are going to lose their jobs, and those who manage to keep their jobs are going to have all their conditions cut and destroyed. And you can see that happening right round the developed, so-called developed world, from Greece through to France, Italy, Portugal, Ireland, and now England, Scotland and Wales.
So which are the key points of the People's Charter?
Well, there are six main points. The first one is a fair economy for a fairer Britain. And the first thing we want to see take place is for the leading banks and insurance and mortgage industry to be taken into public ownership. It is absolutely disgraceful that we actually have put so much money into those banks so that we, in fact, really own them. But they are now, in fact, floating free of any control by our democratically elected representatives. We want to tighten up on the city. and we want to ban hedge funds. That's the first point. And there are another 5 points about better jobs, decent homes for all, protection of all the public services, so we're totally opposed to the cuts. And also, we want to cut the waste of billions of pounds of money on a new generation of nuclear weapons and to bring the troops home from Iraq and Afghanistan.
It seems that especially your domestic aims in 30 years ago would seem just a reasonable Keynesian model that could be followed by by mainstream parties in government. Do you think that it is likely to see these measures being taken by the ruling parties in our days?
No, unfortunately not. And that's why we've put this charter together, because really speaking, all of the parties of government at the moment are united in defense of the banking system, and to call it what it is, it's capitalism. Capital is in crisis and they're defending the system. And what the trade union labor movement and also people in Britain as a whole and in Europe as a whole and indeed throughout the world have got a crisis of leadership, because they don't have parties that will represent their interests. So we've come together to defend some basic essential demands and essential needs of every household. We can't do without proper wages and fair conditions and justice at work. We can't do without a National Health Service, which is under attack as we speak today. We can't do without schools for our children. We can't do without social services. All the gains since the end of the Second World War are now being shredded in the interests of paying off the deficit to the bankers who we have actually saved by giving them untold billions of public money. And so instead of that money going to improve our social services and the welfare state and people's lives, they're now going to be invested in even more speculation and drive and greed for profit. And it's why we've come together to form a mass movement.
I remarked that there is a certain way the new policies around the welfare system are served to the public, that it's not about destroying, but about giving the freedom to people to choose the provider of the services they need. Pat gave me an interpretation that removes the glitter from the freedom rhetoric and leaves it bare.
Well, that's the con. There's no choice for somebody living in a city or in a small town in the north that used to have a pit or a steelworks. And there are loads around where I come from in Leeds and Sheffield, I know is the same. There's no choice there. There's no work. But that doesn't mean that the elected government has not got a duty to all its citizens. And they should be providing that service free at the time of need for all. If they get their so-called choice, it will be dependent upon whether or not you live in a posh suburb and whether or not you have a middle-class job and whether or not you can afford to pay for the services. For instance, what they're proposing today is to make GPs, the general practitioner, the local doctor, demand from hospitals some treatment for their patients. And of course, they'll get an allocation of a budget, and then they will pay the trust hospital. But if the trust hospital isn't good enough, according to the league tables, then you won't be able to go to your local hospital. You'll have to go somewhere else for decent treatment, but you won't be able to afford that. Because if the GP has got a general practice in a poor area, they won't generate the income to pay. And so it's back to Victorian times.
So which unions are supporting the People's Charter?
Well, at the moment, we in fact had it adopted by the full Trades Union Congress at its annual conference held in Liverpool last September. So it is in fact the policy of the Trade Union Congress, which unites the whole of the union movement. But the activists behind the charter are mainly in the Rail Maritime Transport Union, my own union, the Public and Civil Service Union, the PCS, the Fire Brigades Union, the Musicians Union, the Prison Officers Association, Bakers Union, another union, the United Road Transport Union, and others, mm-hmm. and also members of the Labour Party, on the left of the Labour Party, and also members of other political groups and organisations, and also community associations. So it's got very widespread support, but what we're seeking to do also is get over 100,000 signatures to the charter, and we're actually in that sense modelling it on the charter from the 1850s.
So what would you do with after having achieved this number of signatures?
Well, we would want to obviously have lots of meetings around the country. We're asking everybody who wants to get us on our website and get further information about setting up those meetings. And then we would want to have a mass demonstration and deliver that petition to Parliament or Downing Street. We haven't actually set any dates for that yet because we are still building up the support for the charter, and we need to obviously be part of the fight at the moment against all the cuts in basic services and the welfare state. We're going to move along with the people and for the people and create a mass unification around that, and help to do it along with all the rest of the organisations who will be taking part in what I'm sure will be a mass revolt against the destruction of all we hold dear.
How many signatures have you had till now?
Well, they're sort of coming in now at about several hundred a week, so I'm not sure of the running total at the moment, but we have had some, obviously had to cope with the outcome of the recent election. A lot of money's gone into that election effort in certain areas. And so we're not actually going to do a count yet until we've got a significant number. But we're on the road, mm-hmm. and as the workers and communities fight back against the cuts, we're sure that we will actually begin to be able to talk to those people, and those people will talk to us, tell us where we've gone wrong, tell us what we need to do. But they'll sign up, because everybody understands that what this charter is about is the common sense of decent democratic people.
When you say that you've spent a lot of money at the...
Oh, no, we didn't. No, other people, you know, who would normally give us lots of time and money are obviously donating money to both the Labour Party and other election efforts. So we understand that, but you understand that everything gets diverted into a siding, to use a railway expression, when there's a general election on. And so we're picking up the reins now after the election.
I think that if every worker in this country was unionized, your task would really be easy. What are your prospects if we take into account that a very vast majority, especially in the private sector, are not unionized?
Well, yes, that's a difficulty now, but there are still 6.5 to 7 million people in the trade union movement. And as I've said, the TUC officially supports the charter. That's their policy from the conference last year. And if we were to make serious inroads into that figure, then we would be well on the way to getting a significant number of signatures. Also, obviously, we have to take into account, as you say, that a lot of people in the private sector are not unionized now, and that's why we're going to be making a drive into the communities. There was a meeting last night in Camden, in North London, for instance, and that was being addressed by many speakers locally, including a speaker, Imran Khan, who's a well-known solicitor who works with the Asian community and in the Asian community and has done for the last 25 years. And so it's people like that who'll be able to reach out into the communities and get the support that we need.
This was Pat Sikorsky from the Rail, Maritime and Transport Union talking to Irini Apostolidou about the People's Charter. For more information, you can visit the website www.thepeoplescharter.org. If you would like to listen again to this podcast, you can always visit the radio station's website, which is www.sheffieldlive.org, and visit our archive. Thanks for listening.